Welcome one and welcome all. How you doing? Welcome to NBA Clutch Time presented by the Playmakers Radio. You know exactly who it is. Your man Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast. You know what time it is. Let's get into it. What did I tell y'all? I told y'all to respect Jimmy Butler, right? I told y'all to get that man his flowers while he here, right? I told y'all, right? I just want to make sure that y'all got me. I told you the Heat weren't about to go out like that. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. They ain't going out like no hole. They not about to roll over. Stop it. Stop it right now. I'm not saying that this is going to be a 3-1 comeback. I'm not saying this is going to be 2016 all over. I'm not saying it's going to be what happened in these playoffs earlier. What I am saying is that the Heat are here to fight. Jimmy Butler is a leader, and he's a leader with an iron lung and an iron fist. I told you, that man's willpower is unlike any others. Gonna hear me cough a couple of times, and I'm gonna say sorry about that. My son got me sick. I'm recovering. But I told y'all what to look out for. I can't stress it enough. I told you, 35-point triple-double. Right? And it's not the fact that he got the triple-double. It's the fact that he won. They won. Oh, you know, LeBron James is amazing. He close out games and yada, yada, yada. No. We know that. He's like 25 or 27 and 10 in closeout games. We know that. We know he's amazing in closeout games. Jimmy Butler does not say die. He does not roll over. Oh, I'm down 3-1. So that means it's the end. No, Jimmy Butler don't believe in that. That man is a warrior. Fuck the triple-double. Forget about it. Forget about the triple-double. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I know there's kids that listen to this podcast. I'm so sorry. Forget the triple-double. Look at the effort. Look at the heroics. The Lakers say they're going to go out and do it for Kobe, right? But Jimmy Butler did the most Kobe Bryant thing imaginable. He rested for 48 seconds the whole game. 48 seconds. Excuse the hell out of me. He sat for 48 seconds the whole game. Those last plays, he had the ball in his hands. He was driving in. He was hitting shots. And if he knew he was in an impossible situation, he was drawing out contact to get to the free throw line. Jimmy Butler knows what to do. I get it. LeBron James tried to make the right play and kick it out. That's what LeBron James does in finals. I get it. But the saying is always the same. If you want something done, do it yourself. I get it. LeBron was double-teamed. Danny Green was wide open. We know the rest, right? We know the rest. Cool. Here's the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen. When LeBron James was getting triple-teamed, and he was within 5 feet of the basket, and he has that frame, and we all know LeBron James, the best driver in NBA history, he's so great at getting contact in all first three quarters. Why didn't you draw out the contact right there? You had three people on you, literally swarming you. All you literally had to do at that point in time was jump. There was going to be contact. All you had to do was jump. If you were to jump and just act like you were going to put up a shot, it would have been a foul. You would have been at the line. Two free throws. Now we're talking a whole different narrative. Now we're talking about a whole different situation. Now it's like, oh damn, what is Miami gonna do? When Jimmy Butler drove to the basket, he was primarily guarded by Anthony Davis. Then Markieff Morris comes out and tries to double team him. Then LeBron is sliding down as he sees that Jimmy Butler does not care about the rest of them and still going to the basket. He had three men looking at him as he was driving, and he said, I don't care. I'm either about to score or get this foul. He didn't kick it out. He got triple teamed. That means two other players were open. Jimmy didn't care. He took it. He took it. He did what a leader was supposed to do. He took it. I get it. You want to make the right play, but guess what? Sometimes the right play ain't the right play. Because the right play can always go left. Huge shout out to Duncan Robinson and the shooting performance he put on last night. He was just... Like, God, Lord. Remember, for the majority of the season, and played a lot of hero ball, but he ain't play hero ball all the damn time. He played hero ball when he needed to play hero ball. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand how people don't understand that. I don't get it. I'm not going to try to get it at all. You know, We all know what the other narrative. I know you know. Because we all know what the other narrative is going to be. The other narrative is going to be, oh, LeBron James didn't get enough help. He went out there and got 40, almost a 40-point triple-double. So you know he didn't get enough help. Well, Jimmy Butler's best help was Duncan Robinson, who got 26. LeBron's best help was Anthony Davis, who got 28 and 12 with three steals and three blocks, shooting 60%, 8-for-8 at the free throw line. He also had Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who gave him 16, 3-for-8 from the three-point line. The difference was, after Duncan Robinson had his 26 points, Jimmy Butler's fed the ball to Bam Adebayo and Jay Crowder and Tyler Herro and Kendrick Nunn. He gave the ball to Kendrick Nunn quite a bit that second half, as a matter of fact. He trusted his teammates to do something with the ball. You want to know what the dumbest thing to do is to trust your teammates with? Just taking one shot. I know it feels like the right play because, you know, they're wide open and stuff. The best way to get a shooter involved is to let them hold the ball for a little bit. When Jimmy Butler and Kendrick Nunn were giving Duncan Robinson the ball, they gave him the ball with enough space for him to take a dribble or two and a couple of steps into his shot. They didn't just toss it to him. It was like, shoot it. No. Sometimes you got to feel the ball. And all my shooters out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to feel the ball. You got to put the ball in the right spot of your hand. Make sure that you got the right rotation when you're letting the ball go. You got to let it fly, but you got to let it fly with your wings. I remember when I started getting shooting confidence in 5-on-5 games, right? I'm a passer. I'm a point guard, and I'm a pass-first point guard. You know, I'm all about getting my team involved. But I remember one day at the gym, we were playing pickup ball, and I was sharing point guard duties, so I was like a co-point guard, was not a primary point guard that game. The other guy who wanted to run the ball up, very intense competitor, right? But he just wanted me to be involved with releasing the ball so much. And he was just like, dude, like your passes are on point. So I know if you can hit the mark with a pass, you can hit the mark for a shot. I know it's there, but you gotta believe. And he gave me the ball. I'll never forget this. We were running up court. He looked at me go to the wing, and he passed me the ball on the right wing. Granted, I'm a left-handed shooter. he gave me the ball on the right wing. He looked me dead in my face and said, bust your gun. I took that damn shot right there, and I hit it nothing but net. Two plays later, we run up. He gives me the ball on the left wing. Bust your gun. I bricked. After that, I didn't want to shoot again. He was like, nah, don't hold your head down. Don't hold your head down. You hit the first one. It's like, all right, okay. Okay, I hear you. Because that's me. You feel me? Like, that's what I do with other guys when they miss shots off of my passes, which don't happen too often. But when they do, you know, I tell them to keep their head up. I'm going to feed them again, this, that, and the third. I just want them to get a rhythm. And he did that with me. So it felt great to have that confidence coming from somebody else, right? So then I do a wraparound, right? So he sits there, you know, top of the key, He puts the ball out behind him. I run around, get the ball, take a couple of steps while I dribble two times going to the right side. He saw me plant my feet. He yelled it again. Bust your gun. I put that ball up, hit it nothing but net again. And I was like, okay, we gonna have a discussion about this. Last play of the game, I'm pushing the ball up court. I see him and another big man off the other squad. They're going at it, you know. He makes a couple cuts. I feed him with a bounce pass, nice little bounce pass, something basic. He goes up, dunks it, and that's the end of the game. We talk after the game. And when we talked, he was like, yo, that was a great pass that you gave me to send the third. You shot well. I was just like, bro, that trust that you gave to me, and you've never seen me play here. Everybody else has seen me play here. And a lot of times they don't guard me at the three-point line because I don't shoot threes that much. But you saw something there, and you wanted to explore it. Why? He's like, I'll never know what you can do unless I give you a chance to do it. I'll never know what you can do unless I give you the chance to do it. Right? Like, you know, my guy Mike told him I was a good shooter. And he's like, that's all. Hey, you know, one person vouches for you. That's all it takes. That's all it took. Oh, okay. You know, somebody says you're the good shooter. All right, well, let's see what you can do. But you weren't shooting. You just wanted to bring the ball up, pass it to everybody else. So, if I'm bringing the ball up, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to shoot. I can't be the only one out here making shots. So, with that being said, right, that is what a leader does. A leader doesn't tell you to just go to that spot, be there, sit there, I'll give you the ball, and then you have to shoot it as soon as I give it to you. No. A leader's going to let you have a feel for the ball. Because the practice feels and the feels during a real game are completely different. Completely different. And all my hoopers out there know what I'm talking about. The feeling is different. Because in practice, there's no pressure. And that's why a lot of times coaches make up these stipulations. Oh, you know, if he misses, everybody has to take, you know, or everybody has to make 100 free throws or something like that. Right? That adds pressure. So coaches try to create a pressure situation so that, you know, the team can get used to what pressure really is. Right? Something is on the line. And when you give somebody the ball and they don't get any time to get accustomed to the ball, they don't get to get their touch on the ball. They got to catch it and they got to shoot it. Right? Because we all know how to do a catch and shoot. Like you catch it, you flip the ball in your hands to your proper rotation and then you let it fly. You know, that's not, although certain people can do that like Klay Thompson, not everybody is Klay Thompson. Some people, you have to let feel it. You have to let them actually take the ball and let it be theirs for the rest of that possession. Now, granted, the rest of that possession should not take too long if you give it to them in the right situation. The rest of that possession should only be about a second or two. But they still got to make it theirs. And when the guy at the gym told me to bust my gun and everything, that's what I started telling other people, bust your gun, right? But if you gonna bust it, make sure that you load it up with your bullets. Get your time to feel the ball. That's it. That's all it really comes down to. That's literally all you got to do. Granted, I'm not trying to give Danny Green a pass for missing that shot. We've all known Danny Green to be somebody that is a finals shooter. He's a big X factor in the finals. And I expect him to shoot good the next game in game six. I expect him to shoot pretty good. He's usually good in game sixes with shooting. But nonetheless, he missed a shot. He missed it. Nothing you can do about it except for look back and be like, hey, I could have went for the foul and had two easy free throws. But the fact is, most people want LeBron at the line for those free throws. It's because they know he ain't great with free throw shooting in the clutch because he feels that pressure. Some people was made for it, some people weren't. But at the end of the day, give credit where credit is due. Miami lost the lead. They stayed within 5 points. They got it back. They made the right plays. They trusted in their guys. The ball moved around. Kendrick Nunn got a feel for the ball. Tyler Herro got a feel for the ball. Bam Adebayo got a feel for the ball. Jay Crowder did. Duncan Robinson did. And Jimmy Butler took over. That's how you run a game. And that's why Miami won. Expect to see another intense game come game six. I'm not going to say Miami's going to win straight up, but I'm going to say that they got the potential to. When you have a leader like Jimmy Butler, all you need is potential, will, and execution. That's all you need on your team. I think what I saw was amazing. I think that game overall was amazing. LeBron played an amazing game. Anthony Davis played a great game. Jimmy Butler played a great game. Duncan Robinson was lights out. It was the Miami Heat is what you call a will team, but they're making do with what they got, and I got to salute these guys, man. You got to salute them. I'm going to get more in depth with what I saw in some extra topics in just a moment. I'll return. I'll be right back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with NBA Clutch Time. And, you know, I want to talk about, I'm going to stay on topic of the finals, but on a different note, right? I was talking to a very, very, very good friend of mine, Mekaziah. I like to call him my brother more often than not. It's because of, you know, just how great of a guy he is. And for the amount of time I've known him, how great of a guy he always has been. And he has been getting more and more and more into basketball. Pretty sure that you guys will be hearing from him soon as well. I'm going to be very happy to get him on the show. But we were having a conversation, right? and we were having this conversation during the Miami versus Boston series. And I told him before the series started, Miami's going to win. I said, Boston's going to take one, maybe two games. He's like, I don't know, man. This Boston team's way too talented. They have more talent than Miami does. They're a very well-rounded team. All very good points. But I said the thing that Boston lacks is a leader, somebody to rally around. If I get this spark started, you guys all have my back. I command with an iron fist. I tell everybody what to do. They go and they follow my lead. They don't have that guy. Right? Like, Miami has that guy now with Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler says charge, the Miami Heat will charge. Jimmy Butler says halt, the Miami Heat will stop. Boston doesn't have that guy to make those commands. And a lot of people thought that Kemba Walker was going to be that guy. And I said, no, like, Kemba Walker isn't that guy. This is Kemba Walker's wet dream. Like, like being a part of Boston is Kemba Walker's wet dream because he just wanted a supporting cast that was good. As where, you know, usually he didn't have much of that in Charlotte. So coming to Boston where he does have a team where his supporting cast is very good. Like, yes, that's all Kemba ever wanted. But Kemba doesn't know how to take over with an iron fist. Jimmy Butler knows how to do that. Jason Tatum is still very young. Jaylen Brown is still very young. Marcus Smart is still very young. They're all experienced for their age, but they're still inexperienced when it comes down to the veterans who have learned how to take leadership. That is what the Boston Celtics lacked. So I said, you know, this series isn't going to go to 7. At most, it's going to go to 6. And it's going to be, you know, Miami that walks away with the victory. But I was just like, I can see it being 4-1. I don't see a sweep. I see it 4-1. But if Boston manages to get that a second win in there, I wouldn't be surprised. Right? So it happens. Then, you know, we start talking about the finals. And I'm like, Miami's not going to roll over. Like, they're going to make this a dogfight. They're not going to roll over. Jimmy Butler just is not that type of guy. He's went against LeBron a few times in the playoffs. Like, it's just, it is what it is, man. Like, this dude's a dog. And it's going to get to a point where he's tired of seeing LeBron James in the playoffs. And he's going to get his ass, man. And that's what we're seeing, you know, like, I could just imagine how the series would have went if Goran Dragic was healthy. Like, they're missing 20 points per game right now from Goran Dragic. That's what he was averaging this playoff series. He's averaging 20 a game. That's what they're missing out of Goran right now. So, like I said, man, big props to Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat and the way that they're rallying and that never say die attitude. And Lakers better find a way to finish them off, and they better find a way to do it ASAP. Because if this goes to 7 games, the Heat are younger, they run faster, they move the ball a little bit better. They shoot better as a team. This ain't the team to let you go to 7 with, man. This ain't the team to do it with. Like, you better get this done. If you don't get this done next game, then LeBron James is going to be on that poster with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green and Tracy McGrady. Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Doc Rivers, you know, the 3-1 and the Kobe Bryant. He's going to be on that poster. Great company. Amazing company, to be real. But that's not the poster you want to be on. So my best advice is get it done, man. Now, let's rearrange this and go into a different direction. A couple days ago, right, I was on Facebook in the All Things NBA group. And I went live, had about 200 viewers while I was live. Thank you and shout out to all of you who was a part of that. Had people that was willing to come on camera and, you know, talk with me. And we were talking about everybody's top 5, right? And I told my top 5, which was Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. And I was also giving my take on why LeBron James is not in my top 5. Easily in my top 10, just not my top 5, right? And it was because for what they all did in their careers and the time spans that they had was more invigorous and more envisioning and more inspirational and more befitting of a top five than what LeBron James has done. LeBron James, like, when I talk about top five, it's not based off of one or two things. It's based off of five things. It's based off of stats. It's based off of rings. It's based off of skill. It's based off of competition. Oh, it's based off of competition. And it's based off of accomplishments. Like, those are the five things, right? So if we look at accomplishments, will LeBron James finish top five? Yes. When we look at stats, will LeBron James finish top five? Yes. When we look at rings and or finals records, will LeBron James finish top five? No. When we look at skill, will he finish top five? No. When we look at competition, will he finish top five? It's kind of hard to tell. But the reason why it's kind of hard to tell is because there are people out there that will give him a pass for having tough competition in terms of people in the league, right? But when I'm talking about competition, I'm not talking about just people in the league, but who do you actually have to face and route to get to the championship? You know, like, people talk about, you know, oh, this is 10th finals. Okay, but who did he have to face usually going to the finals? Right? Like, a lot of times he's had to face losing teams. Like, Pacers at one point in time, losing team. Boston at one point in time, losing team. Atlanta at one point in time, losing team. And, like these were teams that were making the playoffs. Faced a few 41-win teams that just barely made the playoffs with 41 wins. It's like, in the first round, he's never had to go against 50-win teams like how Kobe did. You know, Kobe, en route to some of his championships without Shaq, he had to face 50-win teams in the first round. LeBron, a lot of times, doesn't have to face 50-win teams until the conference finals. And that is what I mean by competition. Who do you have to go against when it's en route to a championship? Like, granted, you guys all play the same players during the regular season. That's whatever. You feel me? You've all had to play against, you know, Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki and Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, like, and Tracy McGrady and Allen Iverson. You've like, both of y'all had to play against them. But who did you have to play against in the playoffs to go to the finals? Not just who did you face in the finals. Right? They're like, oh, LeBron James faced, you know, the best teams ever in the finals. We look at the differentials. He's faced the best teams. Well, that's because he's faced some of the worst teams in playoffs history. Right? Like, Kobe's had to go against, you know, the best defensive team all time in the 2004 Pistons. A top five, maybe top 10 defensive team of all time, two times with the Boston Celtics. One of the best shooting franchises or teams of all time with the 09 Magic, alongside going against, you know, Dwight Howard, who was amazing during that season, and he had an amazing run in Orlando. Like, he's and like I said, I'm only talking about the championships. You know, I'm talking about what he lost and the ones he won without Shaq. I'm not even including the ones with Shaq. Right? Like, I mean, he faced a very good defensive 76ers team. But they were an aging team in terms of, you know, Dikembe Mutombo being 35 years old. He had Defensive Player of the Year. He was an all-star. Allen Iverson also was an all-star and an MVP and a scoring title winner and a steals leader that year. But, you know, Kobe and Shaq was just unfuckwittable. Like, you weren't going to beat them. You know? The New Jersey Nets were underdogs to come out of the East, in all honesty. And they were a good team, but they weren't a great one. But then you look at who Kobe went against in the playoffs, and it's like, oh, he took down, you know, Scottie Pippen and Rasheed Wallace on the same team. Oh, he took down, you know, Tim Duncan and David Robinson and Bruce Bowen all on the same team. And it's like, oh, he took down Carmelo Anthony, you know, and Chauncey Billups on the same team. Oh, he took down, you know, the Spurs big three all on the same team. Like, he's done that. Oh, he took down, the Houston Rockets, which I'm not really going to count that one for Kobe because they were injured. Ron Artest still did what he does best, though, and that's be a great defensive force. But, you know, it was just, he had to go against actual talented and pressed teams in the playoffs before getting to the finals. So on top of facing, you know, out of his seven teams that he faced in the finals, four of them are very good teams to legendary teams. Three of them weren't. Like, the Pacers were not a very noteworthy team. The Nets were not a very noteworthy team. The 76ers was, you know, kind of hit and miss. Like I said, MVP, scoring title, steals title, defensive player of the year, and sixth man of the year, all on the same team. That's noteworthy. But that's all. It's a noteworthy good team. But they weren't a juggernaut. But then you look at the 04 Pistons, the 08 Celtics, the 2010 Celtics, the 2009 Magic, and it's just like, oh, shit, you know, fuck. Like, Kobe's had a road. But that's when, like I said, like, you know, when we talk about competition, it's just like, oh, okay, now there's a conversation to be had. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, stats, Kobe is statistically top 10, right? Skills, he's number one. Competition, top three. I wouldn't mind putting him at number one, but I'll say top three. Accomplishments, top five. So it's like, you know, there's only one category that he's only top 10 in. The rest of it is really, he's number one, number two, or number three, or somewhere in the top five. That's a top five player of all time to me. But it's like LeBron James, you look at competition, I'd say top 10. Horrible playoffs competition, great finals competition. So he's top 10. Stats, he's number two behind Kareem. I don't know. I'm going to give him top five. I'm not going to say number two. Because like, everybody loves talking about stats when it comes down to LeBron James, but it's just like, defensively, your stats were basically even with Larry Bird. Offensively, Larry Bird averaged a double-double, so did Magic Johnson. Like, you're the well-rounded guy, but you're also the well-rounded guy who only averaged a double-double once in his career, right? Like, Magic and Bird averaged double-doubles. Kareem averaged a double-double. Michael has the most points per game in history. Like, where do you fall? But I put him top five for statistically. Accomplishments, top five. When you look at his finals MVPs, his MVPs, his all-star MVPs, his all-NBA appearances, all-NBA defensive appearances, he's top five. Same with Kobe, top five. Rings. Well, that's where he falls short. It's not the fact that he didn't get six rings. It's not the fact that he didn't get 11 like Bill Russell or anything like that. It's the fact that he has a losing finals record Period. Like, you went to the finals 10 times and you lost 6. Thus far. That's where you're at. And you're in year 17. I don't see him walking away with a winning final record. So, he's top 10 with that. He's not top 5 with that. Like, there's a lot of his fanboys that's going to hate that. But you got to deal with it, dude. Like, that's part of the road of being a great player. You got to learn how to win. That is, like, it is what it is. Right? When he went to Miami, he went to Miami to win at all costs. And he only got the job halfway done. When he went back to Cleveland, it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to bring a title to Cleveland. Well, that's exactly what he did, but he only brought a title to Cleveland. And you guys were okay with that. He didn't bring 2, he didn't bring 3, he didn't bring 4. He brought a title to Cleveland. When you have the type of mentality that LeBron has, which is a building mentality, okay, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this coach. When you're a player that has general manager power, there's no excuse for you losing. It's not. So rings, he definitely doesn't fall in the top 5. I give him top 10. You know, that is what it is. So skills, top 10, rings, top 10, stats, top 5, accomplishments, top 5, competition, top 10. Well, he has 3 top 10s and 2 top 5s. Top 10 player to me. I don't see how that's unfair. But he's high top 10 player. Like, he's not number 9 or number 10. He's like number 6. He's like mid top 10. And then I get called unfair for that. It was like, well, I look at Kobe Bryant, he's only top 10 in one category, and top 5, top 3, and then number 1. I don't see how that's unfair. Like, even if I do it comparatively, Kobe and LeBron, skills. Kobe number 1, LeBron James top 10. Rings, Kobe top 5, LeBron top 10. Stats, LeBron top 5, Kobe top 10. Competition, Kobe top 5, LeBron top 10. And accomplishments, Kobe top 5, LeBron top 5. Like, LeBron doesn't get number 1 in any category. Kobe at least has one top or one number 1 in one category. That, like I said, like, it is what it is. And a lot of people, I get a lot of flack, you know, from LeBron James lovers. And look, I don't blame you guys for looking at him as a top 3 guy. I don't blame you guys for looking at him as a top 5 guy. But you can't blame me for looking at him as a top 10 guy. And then you guys are offended by it. Like, a lot of you guys tell me, oh, Kobe's number 9 or Kobe's number 10 or Kobe's number 8. Like, you don't have Kobe in your top 5. And that's fine with me. But y'all got to be okay with the fact that to some people, LeBron just ain't top 10. It's for good reason. It's for good reason. Stop looking at only one or two excuses to put him in the top 5 or in the top 3. And look at the whole entire thing. Look at it from a broad perspective, not just from a close range one. And you will finally understand why some people feel the way they feel. And then to me, it's like, what did he do to pass Magic and Bird? Right? Like, for me, he definitely hasn't done enough to pass Kobe. And then for me, statistically, it's like, like, okay. Competition-wise, like I said, LeBron top 10, Magic and Bird, they're borderline between top 5 and top 10. I would probably say that Larry is top 5 and Magic is top 10. because the East was tougher than the West was for, you know, quite a while back in the 80s. You know, the East was the tougher conference. So I don't mind edging that to Larry Bird, right? So competition, Bird is top five, Magic top 10, LeBron's top 10. Stats. Well, statistically, the only one not averaging a double-double is LeBron. The only one averaging a 20-point double-double is Larry. So I give Larry the number one, or not the, well, he's top five. Magic is in between top five, top 10. But I'm more willing to put Magic on the top 10 side because his defensive impact numbers aren't great. As where LeBron's has had better defensive impact than Magic Johnson. So I'm, like I said, I'm more willing to give him the top five spot. Rings. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson didn't play long, ladies and gentlemen. Magic went to 9 finals. He won 5. He has a winning record. Larry Bird went to 5 finals. He won 3. Winning record. LeBron James went to 10 finals. He lost 6. Losing record. So LeBron top 10. Larry top 10. Magic top 5. Magic gets top 5 over Larry because Magic has more rings. He has more losses, but he also has more rings. So, as long as you still have that winning record and you got the extra rings, you get the extra slot. So, boom. skills. Larry Bird, top 5. Larry Bird, top 5. Magic Johnson. Oh. This is where it's hard, man, between Magic and LeBron. Because Magic wasn't a great shooter. LeBron's not a great shooter. Magic Johnson was not a great driver, but he had good body movement and was fluid to get around people to get to the basket. LeBron James was a powerhouse. Magic's the best passer of all time. LeBron's like number in between number 2 and number 4. Footwork, I would edge it to Magic. I don't know, man. Like, skills, neither one of them, they both had good ability, but Magic's go-to thing was his passing ability and his fake-outs were amazing, right? LeBron's passing ability and his IQ is amazing. But it's like, if you ask them to do, like, 2 jab steps into a hezzy behind the backspin, go to the rack, and then finish with a fillet, like, they're not doing any of that. Like, they're not skilled. Like, Larry Bird was super fucking skilled, and that's why him being as unathletic as he was, not a high jumper, not a fast runner, not super powerful, like, he was just, what the hell? Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. And he had all types of moves in his arsenal. Magic has a lot of moves, but Magic has passive moves. He doesn't have a lot of moves he can score off of, but he didn't need to have a lot of moves that he could score off of. LeBron needs a lot of moves that he can score off of, but he doesn't have a lot. So he substituted with just like raw power. So skills wise, I'm putting both Magic and LeBron top 10 category, but Bird definitely gets the top 5 spot. And then accomplishments, it would be more like LeBron James, of course, you know, is top five in accomplishments. LeBron James is probably top three in accomplishments, to be fair. Larry Bird. This is where it gets hard between Larry has, you know, three titles, with two-time Finals MVP. He was a three-time All-Defensive, 10-time All-NBA. But it's just like, you look at Larry Bird's, his resume is like, he didn't play very long. So for him to do everything that he did, like, he was Rookie of the Year, All-Star Game MVP, three-time MVP, three-time All-Defensive, 10-time All-NBA, three-time champion, was a three-time champ, you know, with two-times Finals MVP. And he did that in the span of, realistically, he did about 11 years. Because remember, his last year, he only played 45 games. And then 88-89 season, he was out with the back injury. So, that was, damn, right? He did a lot in 11 years. And in 11 years, he was 10 times All-NBA. That's a lot. As where you look at Magic Johnson, right? And it's like, I'm trying not to be, I don't want to come off the wrong way when I say certain things. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but I don't like to give credit to one person to take credit away from another person, if that makes sense to you guys. But we'll talk about it anyway. So Magic Johnson, you know, about 11 years himself, 11, 12 years, because remember, for 4 years, he didn't play because of the HIV. His last year, the 95-96 year, like, he was like a player, but he was a coach. It was weird. He only played 32 games. But all in all, you know, you look at like the span of like 11 years that Magic played. All-star every year. Two-time All-Star MVP, three-time MVP, two-time steel champ, 10-times All-NBA, three-time final MVP with five championships, four-time assist champ. Like, he did a lot in 11 years, too, but neither one of them did more than LeBron did in 17 years. So, Magic and Bird both get the top 10 spot, but, you know, LeBron gets the top five, top three spot for what he has done. Like, neither one of them got more MVPs than LeBron did. Even if they were to stretch out their careers a little bit more, like, let's say if they got, like, 13 to 15 years in their career, I don't see either one of them getting more MVPs because, you know, by that time, Jordan is the dominant guy. And I don't see them beating out Jordan for those MVPs. But, you know, Magic got the three times Finals MVP thing, like how LeBron does, right? But, you know, and he got it in nine finals. LeBron's on his 10th final right now. But either way, that's not to be really discussed more, because we know LeBron wins in in the accolades category. But it's just like, when you look at it all from a broad perspective, it's like, Larry wins with stats. Larry wins with competition. So Larry wins with stats. Larry wins with competition. Larry wins with skill. So he has to be in that top 5-1. Magic wins. He beats LeBron with rings. Competition-wise, I would edge it out to Magic, but not by much. But I would edge it out to Magic. He's faced less losing competition in the playoffs than LeBron has. And he made the finals almost every single year while facing tougher competition in the first three rounds than LeBron's had. So I would give that to him. Skill, I would edge it out to Magic. So he takes the other top five spot. Now LeBron wins in terms of the accolades category. But the accolades category that LeBron wins primarily isn't enough to put him above Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. But nonetheless, I'm always up to discuss it. So whenever you guys feel the need to say something about it or anything like that, hit me up. Let me know. I have no problem with it. My information's out there. It's available. Google me. Brandon Burroughs Yasha. Go ahead. Google me. I'm on Facebook. I'm available. So, anytime anybody wants to challenge me on what I'm saying, give me your thoughts. Give me your point of views. I'm okay with it. I go live on Facebook and all things NBA or in on the Playmakers Radio page. I'm available. I'm down to hear what anybody has to say. Or even if you want a small, featuring on the show, I'll gladly bring anybody here on the show. Like I said, I still got NBA players or ex-NBA players still lined up to do this show. So it's... And you guys are definitely going to hear from them very soon, but they're there. So it's always something that I'm always, open to discussion with. But yeah, that's just my take on it. And I'm only bringing it up because it was recent conversation. So it's a conversation to be had. It's not a closed book. Always add extra chapters that you can put into it because there's always going to be different opinions, different views. Nothing is absolute. But until the next time, I hope you guys stay safe. Try and stay out of trouble. And everybody have a nice night. This is Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast with the Playmakers Radio, signing out. Everybody take care.